And good evening, everyone. Welcome to another exciting Saturday Night Wine Stream and another exciting episode of Drink with Rick. I'm Rick. And tonight, well, you know what? We don't have the Merlot. I forgot to bring it upstairs into the studio. Oh, wow. Well. I'll go fetch it in just a minute. If you're watching for the first time or for the 178th time, because this is the 178th episode of Drink with Rick on the Saturday Night Wine Stream, this is a stream of consciousness kind of show. I do have my show notes, and they're right here. I don't have the wine with me because I forgot to go fetch it just before the show started. And that's how my stream of consciousness works. But I'll go get it in just a moment. Let's see. I do have my show notes. They're right here. But we don't always follow them verbatim. And I do have an exciting show tonight. And with a special preview. Well, not a preview. It's a debut of a film that I've been working on for 40 plus years. Anyway, this show is a stream of consciousness kind of show because the show is not about me. It's somewhat about the wine when it's here. But this show is really about you and me getting together on a Saturday night, sitting back, kicking back, relaxing with our favorite libation, whatever it is, and just having a good time. Now, we don't talk about politics, we don't talk about religion on the show. We talk about things that bring people together as the wine does, as the wine brings people together. That's what this show is about. So get in the chats and talk to me, and we'll get the show on the road. Yeah, I'll go get the wine in just a minute. I have an empty wine glass, but no wine. How about that? We'll fix that in a moment or two. All right, before we do, though, if you're watching me live and you want to get into the chats, please get into the chat and tell me how you're doing. We are live on, let me show you everywhere we're live here. We are live. This is from our page at drinkwithrick.com. We are live on Facebook. The Facebook page is Drink with Rick. We are live on the YouTube channel. Our YouTube channel is, you just type in Drink with Rick. You'll find it. And we are live there. With a chat. We are live on Twitch. The Twitch channel is twitch.tv/drinkwithrick1, Drink with Rick and the number one, all one word. And on Twitter, Twitter is at Drink with Rick. Yes, we are live on Twitter right now. And Odyssey, we are live on Odyssey, Drink with Rick, :7. And is the address, or just type in Drink with Rick, and tonight's episode is Montera-Merlot, so that's where you can reach me there. And, of course, we have a live chat going on all these venues, so you can jump in and say hi and tell me what's going on with you, and contribute to the chat. Let's make this show happen. The show is about us. And, of course, if you're listening later, you can listen by downloading the podcast. The podcast goes out at 10 p.m. Eastern on Monday nights at 10 p.m. Eastern. You can listen to it on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn. Where else are we? Stitcher Radio, Blueberry.com, iHeartRadio, Deezer, Amazon Music, PodcastIndex.org. And by email, if you go to the subscribe page that for those of you watching now can see here, the subscribe page is at drinkwithrick.com. Click on the little blue button that says by email. Put in your email address in the box, and you will get the latest episode of Drink with Rick as soon as it drops, and no salesman calls, just for the podcast. That's all. Of course, you can unsubscribe at any time, but please don't. You can subscribe to me and follow me on all these venues if you want. That's totally up to you. I'm not going to beg for subscriptions and likes and follows and all that kind of stuff. If you like it, you'll do it. If you don't, it's okay. It's all good if it's not for you, but hopefully it's for you. Hopefully we have something for everybody here. The only thing we don't have is the wine. Let me tell you before we get started, we're going to introduce the wine, open, pour, taste, and review it. We're going to pair it with some food. We're going to toast some national days. We're also going to, we're going to have a little trivia for one of these classic TV sitcoms out there. I'll tell you a little bit of trivia on that. We're also going to show the film Jim and Eric. This is a film I've been working on for 40 years, 40 plus years. I'll explain later as we go along. I have talked about it a lot on the show in the past, and tonight we're going to see it. Finally finished it. We're going to watch it tonight. And of course, I'm going to talk a little bit about late mail delivery. I was going to talk about that last week, but I didn't. I forgot because I don't always follow my show notes. And of course, I'm going to tell you how you can get some free Drink with Rick coasters like these right here. Some free Drink with Rick coasters. All right, so let's get started. And of course, I'm going to need the wine. Before I do that, let me get in the chats and see who's in the chat. And it's quiet in the chat right now, so this is probably the best time to go run downstairs real quick and get the wine. And I will put us on a momentary countdown. And, well, no, I'm not going to use a countdown. What am I going to do here? What am I going to do? You know what? While we're doing this, I can show a secondary film. Why not? Why have you sit around and wait for me to come back when I can show a short film? Another short film, not Jim and Eric, but another short film. So let me cue up another short film here. And let's see, what can we do? What can we do real quick? Let's see. How about, let's see what we can pull up. The... here's a classic. Let's pull up the Cadillac Ranch. Anybody want to watch the Cadillac Ranch? This is fun. So we'll go ahead and run the Cadillac Ranch. When I come back, we'll have the wine to open. We're back. Yeah, that was an old classic, the Cadillac Ranch. You know, I should start keeping one of these to roll in anytime something happens and we have to cut away and I have to fix something or whatever, like going down to get this bottle of wine. You know, that's happened to me once before. And the time that I did that before, I did this. I showed the hamburger. It happened a couple of times. And yes, that's the hamburger. Everyone always applauds the hamburger. Okay, so let's go ahead. Nobody likes the hamburger. I had a hamburger again. It was pretty good. All right, let me see. I've got this open, and I've got my mechanical corkscrew here. This is the Montera, by the way. This is what we're drinking tonight. I'm going to go ahead and open it up. No, I didn't show you the pictures of the bottle, did I? Let's show you the pictures of the bottle first. Ah, boy, I'm really disorganized today, aren't I? This is what we're drinking tonight. We're drinking a Montera Merlot, 2020 Merlot. Okay, this is what we're drinking from Monterey, California. And this is the back of the wine. I'm going to show you the back of the wine here. There we go. It says Montera Merlot, 2020 Monterey. Merlot has for centuries been considered one of the greatest wine grape varieties and has been the primary companion grape to Cabernet Sauvignon and some of the world's most desirable wines. Montera Merlot expresses the best of what Merlot can be, with aromas of violet, plum, and cocoa, followed by flavors of black fruits, cassis, and toasted oak. Enjoy Montera Merlot with ripe cheeses, grilled steak, and hearty pastas. It is vintned and bottled by Montera Vineyards in Manteca, California. And there is 14.5% alcohol by volume in this 750 milliliter bottle of wine. And that is what we're drinking tonight. So I've got my mechanical corkscrew ready. All right. All set to go. Let's decork the wine, as I like to say. Those of you who have been around long enough know that I don't say uncork the wine. That is something that is reserved for everyone else. For me, I say I like to decork the wine. Yeah, it sounds uncouth, doesn't it? That's just that kind of guy I am. Okay, here we are. with the aerator. I've got the aerator. By the way, this bottle is chilled. The reason that I forgot it is because I had it in the fridge, wine fridge, not the regular fridge, the wine fridge, and I had it chilled to a comfortable, I think it was between 58 and 60 degrees. And that's what I want to do, is I want to chill the wine first. I understand it should be decanted as well. I did not bring the decanter tonight, but we're going to go ahead and pour it, and we'll let it breathe a little bit. So we're going to pour a little bit of this wine into the glass. Yes, I did forget something else, did I? Didn't I? I sure did. This is the genuine Galway crystal glass, Irish crystal glass from Ireland, given to me by my employers at buy2wayradios.com. Yes, I am doing everything out of order tonight. It's like Bizarro World, right? I'm doing everything out of order. Well, hopefully we don't do anything else out of order tonight. Let's give it a good swirl, get it started. By the way, I almost forgot. Let me show you what we have to pair it with tonight. Tonight, we have it paired on camera three. We have this lovely dish prepared by my lovely wife, Chi. We have some ribeye there. We have some grilled chicken that she grilled on the grill. We have the unexpected cheddar with parm. This is the Cracker Barrel, I believe. Cracker Barrel sharp cheddar. And then we have this lovely, lovely presentation by my lovely wife, Chi, that she made herself. And she insisted on letting everyone know, she let me know, so I could tell everyone, that that was not from the internet. She created that herself, on her own. That is a Chi creation. So I'm quite proud of her for that. And we should give her a round of applause for that. Thank you, Chi. And the applause is well-deserved. Okay, so we have given this wine a good swirl. And then before we taste the wine, we're going to let it open up just for a few moments. And while it's doing so, let's learn a little bit more about this wine. Now, I went to a few places online. And I couldn't find much about it. I Googled it up, and I did find it Googled up and it's the pages of it, but all referenced mostly to Trader Joe's. Why is that? Because this wine is sold at Trader Joe's, and that's where my wife purchased it from. Seller Tracker didn't have anything. They had no rating on it. The Wine Searcher had the Merlot listed for the 2020 vintage. They did not have any pricing on it. I went to this website, the MontereyWine.com website, and then I found a sell sheet or a tech sheet on it, if you will, and I have that pulled up right here. I also did find it listed at where did I find that? Where is it? I lost it. Oh, no, I didn't. It's right at the end. Okay. Vivino has it listed. And they have it listed for $6.99 with a 3.9 rating, star rating out of 5 stars, 118 ratings. And apparently it's $6.99 for the 2020 vintage. They have that listed and a number of reviews on it. Here's the thing. Vivino had the wine. It seems to be fairly popular with folks out there. But no one else really listed the wine except to say that it's available at Trader Joe's. And I thought, well, I know where it came from now. Because, see, I didn't purchase this bottle of wine. It was given to me as a gift. It was gifted to me by my lovely wife, Chi. And I've been holding on to it for a little while. I've been wanting, she knows I like Merlot. And I've had it been chilling, you know, in the wine fridge for a while. And I've been holding on to it because she said specifically, hey, review this wine. This wine is for you to review on the show. And I thought, okay, that's what I'm going to do. And I just had to wait. I had a list of wines that were ahead of it for reviewing. So I scheduled it in. And I said, hey, tonight we're going to review this wine. Why not? Why not? And that's what we're doing. So thank you to my lovely wife, G. Thing is, I needed to find out how much it costs. So I checked around. The vino said $6.99. According to Trader Joe's, because I went down there the other day and saw it. I saw them listed at Trader Joe's when I was hunting around for other wines. $6.99. That's what it's going for, $6.99. Now, is it any good for $6.99? We'll find out in just a few moments. I'm going to read a text sheet here. Before we do that, let me get back into the chats for just a minute, see who's joined us in the chat. And it's still kind of quiet out there. I probably scared everybody off showing a film right at the very beginning. Marcus Ellis is in the chat. Marcus Ellis, great to see you. How are you doing tonight? And tell me what you're drinking or what you're not drinking or what you'd like to be drinking or what you'd like to see me drinking. If I can afford a bottle of it, I'll see if I can afford to go out there and purchase one and try it out as well. And I give it a fair and an honest review like I do all of them. Now, just as a reminder, I'm not a sommelier. I'm not one of these classy wine snobs. As you can tell, I'm not classy to begin with. But I'm an everyman that likes to drink wine. And like 99.9% of everyone out there that likes to drink wine, I know what I like and I know what I don't like. I know what tastes good to me. And that's what we go for. Because you know what? The wine snobs, the wine critics, the sommeliers, whatever you want to call them, the wine professionals, they're good at what they do. They train long and hard for what they do. But at the end of the day, I would say that there are a number of them that if they're judging a wine, they're going to have their own different opinions of whether or not they like the wine or not. I'm sure a lot of them are trying to do it without being not judgmental. They are judging the wine without being too biased, but everyone has their biases, and some people prefer some wines over others. So that's got to seep through somehow, right? At some point. So just because the sommelier might like it or the professional might like it doesn't necessarily mean you will like it or I will like it or vice versa. You know, there are plenty of people out there drinking two-buck chuck that or it's no longer two-buck chuck anymore, three-buck chuck, that like the wine, the Charles Shaw wines. And I will tell you that a lot of these, fancy pants A lot of these professionals will turn their noses up at it. That's okay. And it's whatever you like to drink. Okay? That's the bottom line. At the end of the day. Now, there are some wines that are truly bad. I try not to buy those and drink them here. But maybe one of these days we should do a wine taste-off here with, you know, some really bad wines, some really good wines. That's another discussion for another time. Anyway, so Marcus, how are you doing tonight? Hope you're doing well. And let's see who else is with us in the chat. Feel free to tweet me too. And if you're watching on the website, drinkwithrick.com, I do not have a live chat going there because I can't put a chat up there. But if you click on that post for tonight's episode, you will get another page with a comment box. Put in your comments in the comment box. Send them off to me, and we'll respond in kind. It won't be right away. It won't be tonight, probably, but I will do that. Okay, let's get to the nitty-gritty on this wine. Nitty-gritty. What can I say? All right, so let me look at this wine text sheet. The Monterey, and I'm reading this off their sales sheet now. Monterey Merlot expresses the best of what Merlot can be with aromas of violet, plum, and cocoa, followed by flavors of black fruits, casses, and toasted oak. Enjoy Monterey Merlot with ripe cheeses, grilled steak, and hearty pastas. Where did I read that before? Oh, yeah, it was on the back of the wine. It was on the back of the wine bottle. Same thing on the take sheet there. Okay. I'm repeating myself now, as my wife often complains about, and so do my kids. All right, alcohol 14.5% by volume. So, we've already gone through all that too. Appellation Monterey. Okay, full-bodied, plush, soft tannins, long and clean finish. That's all I've got on this wine. Enough of that. Let me close that out. Okay. Let's give it a whiff. There's some cherry. And some oak. It's good to taste. A bit bolder than I expected. And there's a lot going on here. It's a bit jammy. It's blackberry, plum. I'm not getting the cherry anymore. Let me see. Maybe a little bit of cherry in there, but the blackberry and the plum. And it's very smoky. It has a hint of something else in it. I can't tell. It's a fairly smooth wine. Not a whole lot of tannins in them in this wine. Bolder than I expected, but not too bold for a Merlot at all. And it is a fairly dry wine. Not as dry as I expected from Merlot. Yeah, it's jammy. But it's pretty decent so far. This is one that you want to be careful of because I'm not really tasting the alcohol too much in the wine just yet. But I can tell that with the high alcohol content, there's probably a lot of sulfites in this, probably added sulfites. Does it say added sulfites? It doesn't say. Oh, it says contains sulfites. This is the kind of wine I can tell right away that if I drink too much of this, it'll probably give me a bit of a headache going forward. If I don't drink the water, that's the key. It's to drink the water in between the glasses of wine, and that'll help keep the headaches at bay. All right. Fairly bold, but it's fairly smooth, and it has a kind of a medium finish to it. Not too short, not too long, but kind of a medium finish to it. It's not bad, but it's been so long since I've had a Merlot. Is that a little bit of chocolate in there? Might be. It's been a while since I've had a Merlot, so because we've been drinking all the Bordeaux and Pinots and things like that. So I guess it's been so long since I've really had a Merlot per se that's. I kind of have to get back in the groove on it, on the Merlots. All right, let's see. We're going to pair it with some food in just a minute. Before we do that, let's check the chat. And my good friend Mike is in the chat. Mike says, missed the film, wife called, she's downstate, drinking diesel Bud tonight. that's what's known as diesel. Mike, I love it that you're here. It's great you're here, by the way. Thanks for being here tonight. And don't worry, there's another film coming. You did not miss the film that we're showing tonight. The film that I showed at the beginning was The Cadillac Ranch, and that was okay because you may have seen it before, but I showed that film because at the very beginning of the show, I forgot and left the wine downstairs as the show started. So I showed that film while I was running downstairs, grabbing this wine and bringing it upstairs. I didn't want everybody sitting on the whole hamburger photo for 2 minutes while I, ran downstairs and got it. But the actual film that we're going to show tonight is Jim and Eric. Please stick around. I think you'll like it. You'll probably want to have a couple of, you'll kind of want to have a few buds to watch this one. But, hey, nothing wrong with a good old Bud. Nothing wrong with that. Still the king of beers, right? Okay, anyway. Well, that's what they say anyway. All right, so let's go ahead and pair it with some food so we can get on with the show here. I'm going to go to camera three. Camera three, we have, let's try it with a steak. Now, Merlot goes pretty well with a steak. This is a ribeye. And of course, as always, it's leftovers. I had some earlier this evening without wine, by the way. Just had water. So this should be interesting, huh? We'll try it. Mmm, that's a good steak, by the way. Mmm. Marinated by my lovely wife, Chi, on the grill. Mmm. Wow. Good. Chewy, but very good. Actually, fairly tender. Mmm. Let's try it with the wine. Good with the steak, but there is no but. I would say and, not but, because this is not a bad thing. The smokiness of the wine, and it is, once again, it is a little jammy. Not too jammy, but a little bit. And the smokiness of the wine really mixes in well with this grilled steak. I like that. So that's pretty good. That's a good pairing. I'm going to clear the palate once again. And we're going to try it with the chicken. By the way, Mike, how are you doing tonight? How is the wife doing? You know what? When your wife calls, you got to go, right? I was doing show prep earlier tonight, and the wife was calling me to dinner. And you know, when the wife calls, you don't wait. You go down there, right? Isn't that? Am I right? Yes. So I hope you're doing well, Mike, and I hope the family's doing well. By the way, I was sitting on a new media show this past week. It was a very interesting show. I've got some thoughts on that that I'll probably have to, I'm digressing again. All right. Where was I? Oh, yes, we're going to go back to camera three. We're going to try it with the chicken. This is the grilled chicken and also grilled by my lovely wife, Chi. The chicken is good. It's a little on dry side, but it's good. And it's a little, not smoky, but marinated as well. I don't expect this will be an issue with the Merlot too much. Not bad with the chicken. Now, the blackberry comes out a little bit more. The blackberry taste comes out a little more with the chicken. I'm not sure what it is, but in this case, for me, it did. So I'm going to clear the palate one more time. And let's try it with, go back to camera three here. Let's try it with the unexpected cheddar with parm. This should be really good. All right. Merlot goes good with it goes good with some pastas, but it goes really good with cheeses, especially sharper cheeses, aged cheeses, as it said before on the label. It should go good with this. Not bad. Once again, well, not bad. And the berry flavors come out a little bit more in this wine with the cheese, but that's not a bad thing. I think it could have a few more tannins in this for this cheese. It's okay. I like it. It's good. All right, clear the palate one more time. Let's go back to camera three, and let's try it with the cheddar, the sharp cheddar. This is the cheddar from Cracker Barrel. It's a great cheese, by the way. I love this cheddar. It's a sharp cheddar. Should go pretty well with this wine. Should pair well. Nice flavorful cheese. And I like it. And the cheese, now the wine is fairly smooth. The cheese makes the wine a little bit creamier. Both of it a little creamier. I'd say that's a pretty decent pairing. So I think we're good there. I so far I'm liking this. Which camera am I on? That one. So I think overall, this is pretty good wine to go with food. I don't know if I would drink this on its own. Maybe, but some people like to drink Merlot on its own, and that should be okay. Mike says, all is well here. She's downstate visiting her mom in Grand Haven. Oh, so you have the house yourself tonight, huh? Well, tell her I said hi. Give her my best, Mike. Give her my best. And stick around because we are going to show the film very shortly. We have a couple of things to do tonight. And Marcus says, I'm drinking only water tonight. Only water. You know what? There's nothing wrong with that because I tell folks at the beginning of the show, it doesn't really matter what you're drinking. It says drink. It's drink with Rick, but you don't have to drink wine. You can drink beer. You can drink tequila. You can drink rum, Coke, and you can drink juice. You can drink ciders, alcoholic and non-alcoholic. You can drink fruit juice, whatever you want. Water's fine. I had some eggnog earlier today, believe it or not. I like eggnog. Some people don't like it too much, but I like it. So drink whatever you want as long as we're drinking together. That is the whole point of this. We're drinking together and having a great time. Snack too. See me snacking here. Grab your favorite snack and sit on and then go at it. It won't offend me at all to eat in front of me. I'm fine because I've been eating in front of you. So it's all good. It's all good. All right. I'm just glad you're here. I'm glad everyone's here tonight who is here and watching. And for those of you who are watching, because I see there are folks watching in other venues and not in the chats, it's okay. No problem. But, you know, you don't have to, but feel free to jump in and say hi. It's good. It's all good. All right. No pressure here. No pressure. All right. So what do we have next? Here we go. Oh, yes, we're going to do the National Days. Let's do the National Days. Time to queue up the National Day bottles. And by the way, those bottles are courtesy of my daughter, Cinder, CM Cinder, also known as Tia. That's her website. CM Cinder is Tia Savoy, tiasavoy.com, tiasavoy.art. She does all kinds of artwork. She can do pretty much any kind of art you want. She's done all of the Drink with Rick artwork for me. She's done some for my son, Tommy. She's done artwork for others. She can do it for you, too. You need to send her a commission if you want, tiasavoya.com or tiasavoya.art. That's a free plug for Tia. She does some cover art for podcasts and videos and things like that. That's what she does. And a lot of other things. She does all kinds of things. She does a lot of anime and Japanese style drawings and things like that. So anyway, where was I? There's my train of consciousness going again. Right, National Days. That's where we were. See how this works, folks? That's the way it works. Okay, National Days. Let's all get together and toast National Days. Mike, get your bud ready. Everyone's watching. Get your drinks ready. Marcus, get your water ready. It's time to toast the National Days. The first National Day we're going to toast. And boy, we have some National Days to toast tonight. National Whole Hog Barbecue Day. I'm getting ahead of myself. National Whole Hog Barbecue Day. Say that three times fast, especially after a bottle of this. Whole Hog Barbecue Day. I'll let you drink to that. I'm still mixing my words up here. Something like that. It's also National Aesthetic. Why do they do this to me? By the way, these are all courtesy of nationaldaycalendar.com. Nationaldaycalendar.com is my friend Marlo Anderson's website. He is the CEO of nationaldaycalendar.com. And he has set these up for October 15th, 2022. National, and I don't know why he picks stuff that's hard to say. This is National Aesthetician Day. Aesthetician. No, not Aesthetician Day. It's, you're not asking anyone. It's Aesthetician Day. This is not going to sound right no matter how I say it. National Aesthetician Day. Okay, what National Aesthetician Day is, on October 15th, and I'm reading this for nationaldaycalendar.com. On October 15th, we shine the spotlight on the skincare professionals who keep us looking our best. It's National Aesthetician Day. Okay, so it's about skincare, aesthetics, not ask the titian. It's aesthetician, like aesthetics, like looks, your looks. There you go. Ah, I get it now. Okay. With specialized training and personalized attention, aestheticians bring out the most radiant skin in each of us. Their knowledge and skills often go unrecognized, and yet they deliver superior services every day in spas and medical clinics across the country. And they've got a list of a few services that the aestheticians offer. Microdermabrasion, moisturizing treatments, facials, hair removal, aromatherapy, body scrubs, and much more. That last one was easy for me to say, and much more. Throughout the day, we recognize all the care and attention they give every day. That's from nationaldaycalendar.com. Well, here's the National Aestheticians Day. I'll drink to that. Well, I can still pronounce it. It's also, going back up to my list here, it's also National Cheese Curd Day. Today is National Cheese Curd Day. I will drink to that. I like cheese. I'll drink. And that's how you make cheese, from cheese curds, right? National Cheese Curd Day. I will drink to that. It's also National Grouch Day. Not that I know anything about that. We've all been grouches at some point in time, right? Of course, not you, Mike, and not you, Marcus. I'm sure we don't have any grouches here in the chats. It's a National Grouch Day. Yes, I'm taking small sips on these toasts. We have a lot of national days to toast. So toast along with me as we toast National Shawarma Day. I had to look this one up, okay? National Shawarma Day. National Shawarma Day on October 15th celebrates the Middle Eastern rotisserie method of cooking meat, such as lamb, chicken, and beef, and the dishes it makes. Not only does shawarma bring mouthwatering flavor, but it can also be enjoyed in a variety of ways. So this is a kind of a Mediterranean, Middle Eastern or Mediterranean They use it with a marinade of Mediterranean herbs and spices. Wow. Okay. National Shawarma Day. I'll drink to that. It's also National Sweetest Day. The third Saturday in October is National Sweetest Day. And basically on National Sweetest Day, and it's been around for 100 years, according to nationaldaycalendar.com. For over 100 years, National Sweetest Day encourages everyone to be generous, even in the smallest ways. From its inception as Candy Day in 1916, that's what it was originally known as, this day reminds us that even small tokens improve the lives of those around us. While the observance started with candy and sweets given to our sweethearts and friends, the day is full of lessons in persistence, resilience, and doing small things greatly. Here's the National Sweetest Day. I'll drink to that. Now, we do have another day that's considerably more solemn than that. Today is also National Pregnancy and Infant Loss Awareness Day. National Pregnancy and Infant Loss Awareness Day. I'm going to read this from nationaldaycalendar.com as well. On October 15th, we shine the spotlight on the skincare... No, that's not the wrong one. That's the National Aesthetic Day. Let me go back to this one. National Pregnancy and Infant Loss Remembrance Day. Seriously, folks, I'm not trying to make light of this at all. This is serious. National Pregnancy and Infant Loss Remembrance Day on October 15th offers a day of remembrance to parents, family, and friends for pregnancy loss and infant death. It can include but not be limited to miscarriage, stillbirth, SIDS, or the death of a newborn. Since one in four pregnancies end in loss, many families know the grief of this kind of loss. It's often not spoken about, and yet those who mourn often need support and understanding. The experience is painful and sometimes overwhelming. I will drink to that, and I'll tell you that I have my family has had personal experience with that. Not she or me, fortunately, but my family, my grandparents on my dad's side, 14 kids, I think is what how the story goes. My grandmother had several miscarriages and some stillborn deaths. My dad was one of two sets of twins that was born where the other twin did not survive. And that happened in a couple of cases. And my dad was actually one of a set of twins. So, yeah, that's to have had another uncle or aunt, would have been nice. And anyway, here's to National Pregnancy and Infant Loss Remembrance Day. I will drink to that. And on another note, on a happier note, it's also National White Cane Safety Day. White Cane Safety Day. Familiar with White Cane Safety? Now, Mike, I think you know him. But I have a book review coming up for a friend who happens to be blind. He is known as the Blind Blogger. And I'm going to tie this in with White Cane Safety Day. But White Cane Safety Day on October 15th annually celebrates the achievements of people who are blind or visually impaired. And I'm reading this from nationaldaycounter.com. The day marks the importance of recognizing the white cane. The white cane is not only a tool, it also represents the independence of those who are blind worldwide. This day has been set aside to celebrate all the achievements of people who are blind or visually impaired and the principal symbol of blindness and tool of independence, the white cane. While technological advancements continue to improve the lives of the blind and visually impaired, the white cane continues to be a basic necessity for leading an independent and productive life. The white cane extends a person's senses, allowing them to determine steps, unlevel pavement, and obstacles. But it also provides a level of safety as a signal to the seeing public. It's important not to disrupt the path of someone with a white cane or to steer them in another direction. A skilled user allows the cane to find the clearest way. And that's what White Cane Safety Day is all about. And we're going to cover this. I've got a short book review here, later. I'm really messing up my words. I haven't had enough of this wine. I'm serious. I'm still mixing my words up. Later. Sorry, lady. This was written by our good friend Maxwell Ivey. And Mike, you may know who Maxwell is. And a blind blogger and a podcaster, and he's accomplished so much, and he is blind. And that's pretty amazing. Here's to National White Cane Safety Day. I will drink to that. And we'll talk a little bit more about Max here shortly. It's also National I Love Lucy Day. Yes, today is National I Love Lucy Day. Mike says, oh yeah, Maxwell Ivey Jr. Yes, exactly. Today is National I Love Lucy Day. And on I Love Lucy Day, we celebrate Lucy. Lucille Ball. I mean, everybody loves Lucy, right? Who doesn't love Lucy? My wife does. I Love Lucy was one of her favorite shows. She still watches it from time to time. She's watched most of them, and she loves the show, and it's very funny, and it stands the test of time. Now, here's some things about I Love Lucy, a few trivia items about I Love Lucy that you probably you may be aware of, you may not be aware of. I don't know if I can find my trivia stuff here. And this is some of this coming from nationaldaycalendar.com, but some of this I'm aware of already. On October 15th, National I Love Lucy Day celebrates one of television's all-time greatest shows, I Love Lucy. I Love Lucy, an American sitcom starring Lucille Ball, Desi Arnaz, Vivian Vance, and William Frawley, made its debut on October 15th, 1951. The program created a new television experience with the first filmed and scripted program performed before a live audience. Okay, now, some folks might take a little bit issue with this because this is kind of a key thing here with the first filmed and scripted program performed before a live audience. It was not the first scripted program performed before a live audience. There have been many shows that have been done before Lucy came along or while Lucy was running that were performed before live audiences and with scripts. But this is the first one that was filmed on film. Live television programs, these other ones. But I Love Lucy used a three-camera format with film instead of live television. And that was the difference here. They filmed it to preserve it on film stock and for higher quality of recording. And so it was the first filmed and scripted program performed before a live audience. Getting back to nationaldaycalendar.com here, the studio literally knocked a hole in a concrete wall, creating room for theater seating, inviting the once banned fans to see the stars perform for free. Of course, that's done all the time now, but I Love Lucy created that trend. They were the first. They invented it, basically. The new format and I Love Lucy won 5 Emmy Awards and received numerous nominations. And here's some more trivia here. Some of this come from nationaldaycalendar.com. In 4 of its 6 seasons, I Love Lucy was the most watched show in the United States. And everybody knew that. Who didn't watch I Love Lucy if you were around at that time? For those of us who weren't, we caught it later in reruns. The sitcom was a world of television first. It even ended on a first. The I Love Lucy show became the first to end its run at the top of the Nielsen ratings. Previously, what would happen is that when the show would start to decline in popularity and would drop in the Nielsen ratings and drop down, then the show would get canceled. I Love Lucy ended its run, not really getting canceled, but because they ended the show for other reasons, basically. In 2002, TV Guide ranked the sitcom as television's second greatest show of all time, and in 2007, it landed on Time Magazine's 100 Best TV Shows of All Time list. So it's pretty amazing. I Love Lucy broke a lot of ground and was what enabled Lucy and Desi to form Desilu Studios, which brought us other great classics. For those of you who don't know it, anybody else know? There's another piece of trivia. There are 3 other shows that they produced a lot of shows from Desilu Studios until Lucy sold the studio, I think in early 70s or so. But there were 3 television shows that came out that were really popular shows at the time. Anybody can mention any of the 3. They could win some free Drink with Rick coasters and a button and some good trivia stuff there. Mike Dell says Andy Griffith. Ha, Andy Griffith. I think that was let me think a second. I know now Mike did mention. Yes, Mike did mention Lucy was the reason Star Trek got on the air. So you only needed one. One, though, Mike. I'll send you a pair of Drink with Rick coasters. Get with you later to get your dress. Send you a pair of free Drink with Rick coasters and a button. And, maybe I could throw in something else over here. Maybe let's see what I got here. a surprise. But yes, Lucy was the reason Star Trek got in the air. And Mike also says, also Podsafe music artist Kevin Reeves. Are you talking about blind? Podsafe music artist Kevin Reeves, is he blind? Is that what you're referring to? I was not aware of that, actually. I was not aware. But it's good to know. And let's see. Let me check Twitch and anyone else. Marcus says, today in Brazil is Teacher's Day. Is it really? Is it Teacher's Day? Well, let's drink to Teacher's Day. I'm always for drinking new in Brazil. Let's all toast Teacher's Day. That's a good one to toast. I'll drink to that. Here's to Teacher's Day. Thank you, Marcus. Excellent. I'm not sure of any what other days are coming up in Brazil here, but feel free to jump in with them if you know of any more. So, okay, Star Trek was one. Andy Griffith was not one that I was thinking about, but there were two others that were came along the same time. In fact, here's some trivia on one of them. I'd say if somebody guesses one of the others. And Mike, you might know this one too. But besides Star Trek, there was another show that was actually shooting at the same time and the stage next door, and they would often swap actors back and forth between the two shows. They would have guests from one show to the other and that sort of thing. Mike, you might know that one. you might. And this was another show that was... Also, I'll give you the third one. The third one, I believe, was Mannix. If anyone remembers Mannix, I believe Mannix was one of those shows. If I'm not mistaken, was one of those shows that was produced from Desilu, or they had a hand in it. Remember Mannix? They still show that late night on MeTV. Let's see, what else do we have going on in the chats? And check the chats one more time. Anyway, we have not toasted Lucy yet, have we? We have not toasted Lucy yet. But if you can, Mike, if you or anyone else, Marcus, anyone else can mention the other show that I was thinking about that was shooting in tandem with Star Trek, where they'd swap the actors back and forth for different episodes and also the sets. They also would often reuse the sets from one show to the other. Can you guess what? And Andy Griffith's not the one that's good. They did use some of the sets on the backlot for Andy Griffith and Star Trek. That's actually true. That's absolutely true, Mike. They swapped a lot of the sets between or at least the outdoor shots. The backlot from between Andy Griffith and Star Trek. By the way, here's another piece of trivia. Mike said Mannix. Yes, Mannix. Aha, Mike got it. He got it. Mission Impossible. That is correct. Absolutely correct. Mission Impossible. Here's to you, Mike. You did great. You know what, Mike? If you don't have a copy of this book, I might send one to you. It's Maxwell Ivey's book. Do you have this one? Maxwell Ivey's book, it's not the cookie, it's the bag. I'm going to review it here in just a few moments. I think I can send you a copy of that. If it's something that you need, let me know. I like to give away stuff. Show. Yes, Mission Impossible was the other one. Mike, you do? Yeah, okay. All right, you got it. I'm going to send this to you, and I'll get your particulars here later on after the show. Or you can send them to me at rickatsavoymedia.com. Where is it? It's right here, rickatsavoymedia.com. You can email me later, a mailing address or whatever. And that's all I'm going to do with this, just to send you the stuff. I'm not going to bombard you with anything else. Where was it? Back to the wave. Okay, so, yes, Mission Impossible. And... for those who also know, later on, Spock Leonard Nimoy, went on to star in Mission Impossible, to replace one of the actors there. And, well, we could have a trivia night all night tonight, but whoa, we don't have that much time, do we? We still have a film to show, and we still have a few national days to toast. So let's, we'll do that another time. You know what? I'm going to put that Mission Impossible trivia. Star Trek trivia. Oh, yes. This could be fun. This could be a lot of fun. I could give away a lot of stuff on this. Thanks, Mike. Okay. Oops. Where was I? All right. So National I Love Lucy Day. I will drink to that. Here's to I Love Lucy Day. So many reasons to love Lucy. We could drink about that all night. All right, October 16th, which is tomorrow in 56 minutes, Boots County. October 16th is Department Store Day. I could tell you stories about that. I'm not going to now. It's also Global Cat Day. Global Cat Day. Mike, do you have cats? I think you've got a dog, don't you? Do you have any cats? Here's the national. Here's the Global Cat Day. It's global, not national. It's global. It's also National Dictionary Day. National Dictionary Day. Where would we be without the dictionary? I'd be wixing my merds up even more. Here's the National Dictionary Day. It's also National Sports Day. And I know we all have our favorite sports teams. Ours is not doing so good right now. The Carolina Panthers. David Tepper just fired Matt Rhule, and we have a new interim head coach now, who I believe was assistant coach before, and the Panthers have had not a great year so far. But I'm not going to get into the whys and the wherefores of all that, or any of my armchair quarterbacking at this point. But let's just say that here's the National Sports Day. Oh, by the way, speaking of sports, I heard that, was it Kurt? Kurt Busch? He had a concussion from a previous wreck. And so, Kurt, I think he's out for the rest of the season, and he's going to be just doing partial season next year for NASCAR, Kurt Busch. I'll be honest. I'm not a Kurt Busch. I'm not a fan of the Busch brothers, okay? Most of my favorite drivers are all pretty much retired now. Pretty much. So, you know. But the Busch brothers, and I'm sorry if Kyle or Kurt, if you're watching now, which I doubt you are, but if you are, my apologies. It's just that I prefer kinder, gentler drivers to the bad boys in NASCAR. You know what I'm saying? Here is to, what are we doing here? Oh, yes, National Sports Day. I'll drink to that. It's also National Liqueur Day. National Liqueur Day. I love liqueurs. A lot of liqueurs. What's your favorite liqueur, by the way? You know, when I was at PodFest, and I saw Mike down at PodFest. And by the way, Tom Antio is here, and he said in the chat, he says, "Hi, Dad." Hi, right back at you, Tom. We're going to show this film here in just a few minutes. Stick around. I'm glad you're here, by the way. And Mike says, "No cats, two beagles." Yes, I knew you had a beagle, and you have two beagles. That's right. That's right. I know you had a beagle. They're really, really great dogs, aren't they? And Mike says, "I like Kyle, also Chase." Chase is a good driver. You know, one of my favorite, well, Tom Antio's favorite, his favorite, and I'm only laughing because he's retired too. Junior, Dale Jr. was his favorite driver. I like Jeff Gordon, but he's retired too. So, no. But, yeah, my favorite driver was Jeff Gordon. I don't know if I really have a favorite driver now, per se, once again, because I, you know, a lot of the new guys, I don't know, Kyle Larson, I'd say he's pretty good. I mean, most of the drivers that Jimmy Johnson's, you know, all these guys who've all retired, you know, it's, I like Jimmy Johnson at the time. But Mike says Shatner was in Twilight Zone around the same time. Yes, he was. He was in Twilight Zone around the same time. Oh, we could do some Twilight Zone trivia, too. That could be fun. Yes, Shatner was in Twilight Zone. You know you've won the book, right? It's all good. Keep the trivia coming. I love trivia. We're missing Ed tonight. Ed, my good friend Ed, we're missing him tonight because he is one person who loves trivia as well. Another person who loves trivia. So where were we? Let me get in Twitch here. Tom Antio says, Dale Jr., Hendrick Motorsports team. Yes, Tom Antio, Hendrick Motorsports. And let's see what else we got going on here. Let me check all the chats here. All right, we're good. So where was I? Oh, yes, it was National Liqueur Day. It's not yet. It's going to be National Liqueur Day in another 50 minutes, 51 minutes. What's your favorite liqueur? I like, you know what? I like creme de menthe. I like, they make a butterscotch liqueur. They make some fancy liqueurs. I love that sweet stuff, yeah, the liqueurs. Wow, they've got a melon liqueur. What's that called? I think it's melon. A lot of different liqueurs out there. Here's the National Liqueur Day. I will drink to that. So, Mike, you like Kyle Busch? You know, it's funny. The Busch brothers is kind of it's either a love or hate thing, you know? There's no in-between with the Bushes. It's either you love them or you hate them or whatever. I don't hate anybody, okay? I can't say I necessarily love them. I can't say I care much for their attitudes because I like to be more of a, you know, positivity kind of guy in there. But, you know, they've gone through their things. They've gone through their things. But nothing against them. Nothing against them at all. Mike says, Jim Beam Apple. Okay, Jim Beam Apple. That's good stuff. I'll drink to that. And with that, I think that does it for the National Days. Once again, this is what we're drinking. We're drinking the Montera Merlot. This is a 2020 Merlot from Monterey, from California. This is a pretty good wine. 14.5% alcohol by volume. I'm not just saying it's a good wine because I've had a lot of it. I'm saying it because I like Merlot. I really do like Merlots a lot. But in this one, the thing is, Merlot can tend to be fairly bold. And this one is fairly bold. It's not too bold, but it's fairly bold. There's, interestingly enough, there's not a lot of tannin in this wine. I'd say not quite medium tannin. It's not a lot. Some reviews I've seen from other people saying that they don't think it's very tannic at all. I think maybe, not really, actually. It's not the driest Merlot either that I've had. It's a little bit sweeter than I thought it would be, but it's not sweet, sweet. It's just, you know, kind of, it's not super dry either. But it's pretty decent. Mike says, I used to call Jimmy Johnson Jimmy effing Johnson. Okay. He won a lot of races, though. He was a very dynamic driver. you got me there, Mike. Okay. All right. So I think let's go ahead and get to the film here. Okay, I'm going to show this film tonight. Now, I know that I've talked about. I'm looking at my notes here. Where's the film? Oh, yeah, it's way up on the list. Oh, by the way, before we get the film real quick. I'm waiting to see if that's going to show up tonight. But before I get to the film real quick, I wanted to tell you that last week, last Saturday night, and I forgot to tell you about this. Our mail carrier has been coming around later and later in the evening, and I was doing show prep, and while I was doing show prep for the show, it's 9 o'clock, and I hear this vehicle driving around our cul-de-sac, and I'm saying, what is that? You know, somebody checking it out. I look out the window, and it's our mail carrier delivering mail at 9 o'clock on a Saturday night. I kid you not, 9 o'clock p.m. on a Saturday night. So I thought, what on earth? Why was mail carrier so late, 9 p.m. on Saturday night? Stuff happens, you know, I know, but why was he so late on a Saturday night, 9 o'clock p.m.? So I went down to the mailbox, and I picked up the mail, and I had to share this with you because you know what arrived an hour before the show? And I think the wine that we were, reviewing that night was from Total Wine. I got this. This was what was in the mailbox. This is what they delivered at 9 o'clock on a Saturday night. It's a $10 off coupon off wine from Total Wine. Just before the start of the show. I thought that was, you know, I think that means something. Is it a sign? I don't know. But it says, if you like these, you'll love these. Yeah, this is what I got from Total Wine in the mail at 9 o'clock, an hour before the show started last week. I wonder what it means. Who knows? The shadow knows. Nobody knows. The trouble I've seen. All right, so let's get to the film. Everyone's shaking their heads, I'm sure. I can hear it from here. Tom Antio says, Hendrick Motorsports Team. Yes, I did read that. Okay. All right, so let me set you up for this film. Tonight we have a film, a short film. It's 8.5 minutes long, maybe a little over 8.5 minutes long. I have been talking about this film for the last 2 months on this wine stream. And I don't want to oversell this thing. I really don't want to oversell it. I'm supposed to do the book review first, right? Oh, no. I guess the book review comes after. I don't know. Sorry, Max. It'll take a few minutes. I don't want to oversell this film, okay? All right, so as you may or may not know, I started making films as an amateur filmmaker when I was very young, about 9 or 10 years old. And I've made a lot of films, standard 8mm, super 8mm film, some 16mm film. And of course, I worked for WOFL. I've got the mug to prove it, by the way. Here it is. Look at that. There's a mug from WOFL Channel 35 in Orlando. That's where I first started editing I Love Lucy for television. Yes, I did. That was the other trivia thing I forgot to mention, is that when it was in syndication, we had a print of every episode of I Love Lucy in a vault in our station, and I edited them all for television, mostly take out, you know, make breaks for the commercials, but also sometimes I'd have to take out a minute or two of each show for time to fit all the breaks in, which was tough to do because it was such a good show. I didn't like to cut out any of it, but I had to make the decision to cut out certain parts of it to fit more commercial time. And yes, it's my fault. And Mike says, I worked for WPBN Channel 7 NBC in Traverse City, Michigan. You did. I do remember, I don't recall which station you worked for, but I do recall that you did work for a TV station out there, WBPM in Traverse City. Now, Mike, what specifically did you do for WBPN, for Channel 7? It was an NBC affiliate. The station I worked for, Channel 35, started off as an indie. And very much like an indie, like from UHF. You know, if you're familiar with the, well, it was UHF indie, but I'm referring to the movie UHF with Weird Al Yankovic. It wasn't quite that bad, but it was a little wild in those days. You know, we had some good times, but then we became a Fox affiliate, and in about 1982, I think we became a Fox. 1983, maybe. Maybe it was a little later than that. Maybe 84, and we became a Fox affiliate, and we then were later purchased by Meredith Corporation, which owned at the time Better Homes and Gardens. And which later on owned the Golf Channel, and then sold a lot of that stuff. But Mike says, work for WBPN, and he says, Master Control News Director. Aha! Master Control News Director. Kindred spirit here, Mike. Kindred spirit. You're the news director. Good stuff. That now, in our station, I don't know how it was in your station, you were an NBC affiliate. When we were an independent, we had a news director, but we basically weren't doing news 24/7. We were doing like these little news capsules, you know, little 5-minute news capsules that we throw in. And now, of course, they've got full news at WFL now. They've got a whole full, they converted half the station, I think, to news, as far as I know. I haven't visited for many years, but a lot of the areas where we worked before, they converted all to news. But when I was working there, it was the newscast. They just did this little news capsule kind of thing, and with George Wilson. George Wilson was our news director there, and it was called News Capsule. That's what it was called, the News Capsule. And I worked a little bit in Master Control in the day too. I was hired as a film editor. And later on, a video editor. And later on, I did a lot of other things in promotion I assisted in production from time to time, but mostly promotion and programming. And I did a lot of voice work. Later on, in the last few years, I did a lot of voiceovers and things like that. Mike says, I directed the 6 p.m. and 11 p.m. local news. Very cool. And hourly news / weather breaks. Very cool, Mike. That's it. And for those of you who are not familiar, that requires, it's a lot of work. It really is. And people in that business do not get paid what you think they get paid. it's not as bad as the radio business, but people think, oh, people, you work in television, you work in the news, you must be getting the buku bucks. It's not as glamorous as you think, and Mike, I'm sure you can attest to that. But and hourly news, weather breaks. That's a lot of work, and you have to be on your toes working in Master Control and doing news. And a lot of work there. On the overnights, when I worked overnights there, because I did a third shift there for a while, and they trained me on doing, because it was just me and the other Master Control operator at the time, and they trained me to do Master Control, to do the switching, on-air switching, so that the guy in Master Control could get a break, so he could go take his lunch at 3 in the morning. And so that's what I did. I was working overnights. I was editing film, editing video, and things like that. Then I go down there, and then, you know, if the guy, the Master Control operator down there needed a break, I'd break him for half an hour, an hour, or whatever he needed. And then I'd do the switching, on-air switching. So I got a little bit of experience in that. It's not a glamorous job, but I tell you what, you do have to be on your toes. And back in those days, we were running quad. Mike, I don't know. I'm sure you remember the quad machines. You don't know if it was going to play the commercial or the show or slice it in pieces. We had the quad machines. We had 1-inch machines later on. We had our film chains. We had our 16-millimeter film chains and things like that. It was back in the day. Good stuff. Ed has joined us in the chats. Ed, it's great to see you, Ed, and I'm glad you're here just in time. We're about to show Jim and Eric. I'm glad you're here. Perfect timing. And Mike says, overnight is boring. Working golf shows on weekends was also boring. Yeah, I know. Overnights is just, yeah, that could be pretty dull. Mike says, we're mostly three-quarter inch videotape. I put my videotape over, I put my three-quarter inch tape over there. Let me see if I can grab it. Mike, I'm glad you're here because and Anne, I'm glad you're here too because I've got something to show you after the film, I guess. We're really dragging out this premiere of this film. Okay, so let me check Twitch here. Let me check Ed. I'm glad you're here. It's perfect timing. And let's see. And okay, what are you doing? Step Row is here in the chat. What are you doing? Step Row. It's great to see you in the chat on Twitch. For those of you who can't see that on the Twitch chats, we've got five different chats going, four chats, and whatever Twitter is going. And so and we've got them on different venues. So one chat can't see the other chat, unfortunately. So I'm going to do the translating and chatting for everybody here. What are you doing, Step Row? Thanks for being here tonight. And what are you doing, Step Row? I'm just going to say, what are you doing? Says, what do you think about box wine? I think we have reviewed a box wine before. We reviewed, what was it called, Black Box? I think it was called Black Box. We reviewed that in the second season of Drink with Rick on the Saturday Night Wine Stream. I don't remember the exact episode it was, but we did review it. I'm not sure about some of the other box wines, but that one's okay. I kind of liked it. I had reservations about it. In fact, when I got the first one to review, because someone, I did it at a request of another viewer. They said, well, review a boxed wine. So I did that, and I wasn't sure how that was, whether I was going to like it or not, but it actually was pretty decent. I actually kind of liked it. So, and you go back and watch his reviews at drinkwithrick.com, the previous ones. But it kind of depends on the wine. Once again, it depends on the wine. I still have some reservations about some box wines. And I do know a lot of them are in plastic, you know, they've got sacks there that are coated on the inside and whatever to kind of preserve the taste and integrity of the wine. But the one that I tried was actually pretty decent. I liked it. I hope that answers your question there. Ask me anything. There you go. Well, I have an answer. I don't know if it's good, the correct one, but it's going to be an answer nonetheless. Okay. We're going to show Jim and Eric, and then I'm going to review this book real quick. And I already gave one away to Mike, but I'm going to give another one away as well. Before the end of the show. Okay, so Jim and Eric, I've talked about this film for the last couple of months, and I'm not going to give the whole backstory of the film, but let me just put it this way. This was kind of an experiment. This one is an experiment, because that's what I did a lot of. When I first started making films, from the time that I did on 8mm, Super 8, 16 later on, I was experimenting a lot. Now, you've seen a lot of the films. For those of you who've watched the show for any period of time, you've seen a lot of the films. I have a lot more. I have something around, 30,000 feet of film left to transfer. I haven't really counted it, but I've got another batch off to Nicholas Coyle, who does all of our transfers and restorations, and he does a fine job with them. And we've shown some of them in the past. I've dabbled in animation. I've dabbled in various live action things, some comedy, some a little more dramatic stuff, some Twilight Zone-ish stuff. For those of you who've seen the Analyst, and of course the Traveling Guy, and a few other things. I've also done a film that was a little bit darker. And that's being transferred now, and I'll show that later on. I've got a comedy, a horror comedy here that we've done before that we're going to show in 2 weeks on the 29th. So hopefully I'll have that all ready to show for you. But this was one that was a little bit different. This was a real experiment. This is It's supposed to be funny, so it's okay, laugh. But I have to warn you ahead of time. This is the disclaimer here. I have to warn you ahead of time that you really want to really appreciate this film. You really want to have had a few drinks. Mike, you really would have had a couple of Budweisers before, a few Budweisers before you watch this. Marcus, I think you're going to need something stronger than water to watch this, but it's okay. Watch it anyway. Let me know what you think. Ed, I think you've seen this. Have you seen it? You have not seen it in its finished form. If you have seen it, you have not seen it finished. Now, at the time that we shot this film, my buddies, this starring Jim Chamberlain and Eric Salmon, who have been in a lot of my films in the past, the three of us made this. At the time that we shot this, a lot of this was improv, too. It was sort of loosely scripted, but a lot of improv. I sort of made a promise that I said I would never show this film publicly unless I finished the film. If I never finished the film, if this did not have an ending, I would never show it publicly. It took me 40 years, but I had an ending for it, and I completed the film, and I told Jim, and I said, hey, I've actually come up with an ending for this film. And he says, okay. That's good. I'm not going to hold you to it then. It's good. He saw the film last night, previewed it. I think he liked it. The feedback that he gave was pretty positive. So I don't think Eric's seen it yet. But this is, once again, I warn you, you're going to need a few drinks to watch this. Now, there is a theme here, as loose as it is. And there are two kind of jokes in this film that you kind of have to kind of watch for. But when I finish the film, I'm going to ask you what you got out of the film, and if you think you got the jokes, the overarching joke here in this film, and a winner. Person who wins could win a dad joke book. So, without further ado, here is. Well, wait, I don't have it queued up yet, do I? Because I have the other film queued up. Oh, yeah, I did that. Okay. All right. Now I've got it queued up. Without further ado, here is. Oh, and by the way, for those who. This is further ado. For those who are listening to the podcast, you're going to have to watch the film. You can watch the film later at drinkwithrick.com. I'll leave a link in the show notes so you can watch it at your leisure at drinkwithrick.com. Because this will not transfer well to to a podcast, okay? You can watch it later there. All right, without any further ado, here is Jim and Eric. And that is Jim and Eric. I told you you're going to need a lot of wine or booze or something stronger, buds, to watch that film. That's okay. There is something going on in that film. And there are two basic little themes here happening. If you can tell me which one of them, you don't have to tell me both, but if you can guess one of them before the end of the show, I'll send you out a free book, free dad joke book. Just let me know. And if you already have one of the dad joke books, I can send you out a different book. All right. Once again, this is what we're drinking. The Montera Merlot, 2020 Merlot. That's what we're drinking tonight. Okay, so, Mike, I've got something to show you. Mike would appreciate this. That looked familiar. Looks familiar. I guess it would. 3/4 inch videotape. This is what Mike's referring to, 3/4 inch pneumatic videotape. And this was one, these were episodes of a show that we did for a local cable TV my friends and I for and during the 80s called Filmmakers, the Filmmakers Show. I do have an episode where we're trying to get these transferred to digital. These have not aired since the 1980s, and we're trying to see if they're still in decent shape to play digitally, at least one or two of them, classic stuff. But that's what I got here. All right. So I've got a quick book review, and we'll call it a night, I guess. Get the final review and call it a night. Mike says, I used to keep the tops off the deck so when the heads got dirty, I could clean the heads while they were playing. Ooh. You know, I've seen that. I've seen that once before, but only not while they were playing. I mean, not while it was on air, but while they were playing the tapes. I've seen that once before, and that was done by one of our engineering guys by the name of Bill Casto. Bill Casto, by the way, Mike's a ham radio guy like I am. Well, my son Tom Antio. Bill was also a ham radio guy. He's silent key now, which means he's passed away a few years ago. But as a matter of fact, Bill Casto was a mentor, or as we say in ham radio, it was an Elmer for my son Tommy for a short period of time. And Bill Kessel, I worked with Bill at WOFL Channel 35 for 12 years. And then when I went to WRBW Channel 65 in Orlando later on, he came along too. They needed an engineering guy there. And so he came along and he wound up fixing a lot of my 3/4-inch tape decks. Because we're still using some 3/4-inch used tape decks at the time. And when I was editing a lot of shows on 3/4-inch and on beta, excuse me, not 3/4-inch, by that time we were doing beta. I think we were on Betamax. And he would come over and repair our Betamax units all the time. So I'd get to see him a lot there. But he did that. He would open up the tape decks, not while we were on air, mind you, but, you know, he'd go in and clean them while they were running. Mike says, I would soak a cloth with alcohol and clean the spinning heads on air. Oh, my goodness. That is pretty intense, Mike. To clean them while you're on air, that's kind of intense, I would say. Wow. Now, I remember cleaning the heads on the 1-inch machines. We had some Sony 1-inch machines that I would have to clean the heads on periodically with a cloth and, you know, manually spin the heads around while I put some isopropyl alcohol on it, clean the cloth with. But, of course, they weren't on air. That's when I was going to be doing some editing, but some recording or anything like that. But I remember doing that with the 1-inch machines. Good times. Good times, Mike. All right, I got a short review here. This is a book that I have been reading. I purchased this book back in April of this year, 2022. April 1st, as a matter of fact, according to Amazon. Purchased it on Amazon, and this is a book on dieting because I really need to diet. I was pretty fit for a time, and then COVID hit, and just before COVID hit and everything, I was starting to slouch on it a little bit. And then I really, during COVID, I really slouched, and I gained quite a bit of weight. So I was trying a couple of different diets. But then I came across this, and it was written by none other than my friend Maxwell Ivey Jr. Maxwell Ivey Jr. had written a book called It's Not the Cookie, It's the Bag. An easy-to-follow guide for weight loss success. Now, this probably doesn't appeal or is relevant to everybody here, but this is a book that came to me at the right time, so I started to read it. Unfortunately, that was 6 months ago. By the way, Hannah's in chat. Hannah's in the chat on Twitch. Hannah PVM says, that's a lot of wine. It is a lot of wine. Well, oh, you're talking about behind me? That's nothing compared to what I had the first two seasons. We had 100 bottles of wine back there at one point. I trimmed that down in season three. We are now in season four, by the way. Wrapping up season four pretty much pretty soon. And we're having a lot of fun. I don't make any money at this. It's a labor of love. But we're having a lot of fun. Okay, so anyway, but glad you're here, Hannah. Thanks for being here. Okay, so anyway, where was I? Oh, yeah, this is not the cookie, it's the bag, an easy-to-follow guide for weight loss success by Maxwell Ivey Jr. Maxwell Ivey is known as the blind blogger, and he has a website, and which he has listed in the book, too. You just go pull up the blind blogger, you'll find him. He is a success story on his own. It really is. It's really worth reading this book, but it's very inspirational. This is about dieting. It's about his own diet that worked for him. Now, you know, they say every diet doesn't work for every person. Everyone is different. He does acknowledge that somewhat in the book as well. But this is one that worked for him. I'm going to give it a try. Now, this is what I promised that I would do. This is why it took me so long to read this book. I promised that when I finished, as soon as I finished, this is not a long book to read, actually. You could read this book in just a couple hours. It took me 6 months. And I think when you hear what I have to say about it, you'll know why. It's nothing about the book, nothing about Max either. He's a great guy. I've met Max. I met him at PodFest a few years ago, and he's a really, really super nice guy. And he is blind. In fact, the first time I officially, formally met Max, I assisted him out at the muffin bar with that a little bit. But anyway, so Max acknowledges here that dieting isn't easy, and he kind of had to do it. It's something I had to do for health reasons. And he pretty much documented everything here in this book. And it's an easy, once again, it's an easy book to read. It's not, and I'm giving this a fair and honest review, Maxwell, if you're watching later, or even now. There are a few typos in the book. There actually are. But I'm not trying to be stickler about typos, because for me, it's not about the typos. It's not about the typos. It's not about the cookie. It's the bag. So I read through this, and it's everything he says here is actually pretty sound. It's pretty sound advice. Some of it's real practical advice for dieting, but some of it's a little bit more than that. It's a little bit motivational, and a couple of things that got me to thinking, rethinking. Now, why this took me 6 months to read is because of me. Because I promised myself and you, because I mentioned this on the show before, that I, as soon as I finished this book, I would try this diet. There's your first clue. Well, there's your clue. And it took me, I set this book down. I read a chapter here, I read a chapter there, and then I set it down and touch it for a while. And I'm thinking to myself, why is it? This is not a difficult book to read. Why is it taking me so long to read this? Why am I having such a difficult time getting through this book? It's because of that promise that as soon as I finish the book, I would start the diet. That is totally on me. Because you know what? As long as psychologically I'm thinking, as long as I haven't finished the book, I don't have to start dieting. And that's what made me the man I am today, such as it is. Unfortunately, the man I am today is not the man I want to be. And there's a lot of practical advice, but there's also a lot of motivational advice in here, and a lot of motivational speaking. And that's what one of the things that Maxwell does. He's a bit of a – he has a speaker, by the way. I'm going to read the back of this book just to give you a better idea of who Maxwell is. I'm just reading from the back of the book now. Everyone knows that changing your lifestyle is not easy. Whether you are trying to lose weight or trying to keep it off, you need an action plan you can follow. The thing is, it doesn't have to be hard. It can be fun, simple, and easy. And it's not the cookie, it's the bag. Blind man Maxwell Ivey Jr. shares the ups and downs of his weight loss and weight maintenance journey to the good health. He also reveals the exact methods he uses in his day-to-day life to achieve and maintain his phenomenal success. It's a black background on white type. I was having a little trouble with that. Going from 512 pounds to a 250-pound lean, mean machine in just 2 years, Max tells you how you can replicate his success and become the person you want to be, the person you are meant to be, the person you deserve to be, one small step at a time. So what are you waiting for? Get started today. Use Max's methods to become happy for the rest of your life. After all, if a blind man can do this, why can't you? I had to think about that for a second. Because I know Max a little bit, and the things that he's accomplished in his life, I don't know that I'm of that same caliber. He hasn't been afraid to tackle the things that he's done. He's a blogger. He's a podcaster. He's done videos. He sings. He's done motivational speaking. He makes a living doing this sort of thing. He's written 4 or 5 books, including this one. And the man is blind. So that tells you something. That by itself, I think, is kind of motivational. There are a couple of things that I tagged in here. He says here in the book, just remember that having one bad day doesn't mean you're a failure. Failure only comes when you quit trying. And that's something that I've told my kids over the years. And it says, I hardly ever use the word failure. To me, the only failure comes from someone who has given up trying. Don't ever stop trying. And that's what I've told my kids on many occasions. So this is a good book. I recommend it to everyone. Mike, you're getting a free copy, of course. I'm sending you a copy of it. And I recommend it for anyone. Now, for anyone else who's having trouble with weight loss, let me know, we'll see if we can, see if you can win a copy. And send me your stories on that, and I will pick one of the best ones and send out a free copy there. How's that? We'll do that in the next episode of Drink with Rick. Mike says, Mike says a few things here. let me catch up in the chat a little bit. Okay, Mike says, we had some reel-to-reel videotape machines as well. Yes, I did too. I actually had a reel-to-reel, mine was reel-to-reel tape, but for audio, because I was also, when I went to work at WRBW, Channel 65, which at the time was known as Rainbow 65, They had a reel-to-reel machine and a whole bunch of stuff. They had a whole production room for audio that nobody knew. They bought all this equipment. Nobody knew how to use it. So they found out that I had a little bit of background on voiceovers and in audio production. Then I became the official audio engineer of the station. That's one of the hats I wore. I could tell you more stories about that another time, but one of the things, when I went to work for WRBW, I really, really was low-key about some of the things that I'd done at Channel 35, and I mentioned that I'd done the voiceovers and things like that because I wanted to move up. I wanted to do different things, not get pigeonholed doing the same thing that I was doing before at the other station. The thing is, though, once they found out that I had, it took a little while, they had me doing different things. But at some point, once they found out that I had been editing the movies at the theatrical movies not just for time, but for content and things like that, at Channel 35, they kind of said, well, you know, we got a bunch of these films here that we need edited. So why didn't you tell us that before? We're going to have you do all of our editing. Not that there was anything wrong with that per se, that I was just trying to do something different. I didn't want to get stuck doing the same thing I was doing before. And that's kind of a part of one of the hats I wound up wearing there. I did some other production stuff and voice work and audio engineering and stuff like that. But it was that was one of the things they had me do. That's another story for another time once again. But Mike says, Mike's you got time. Okay, Mike has a link here, and I'm going to share this link. Thank you, by the way, Mike, for sharing this link with us. MikeSkuska.com is Max's podcast network powered by Blueberry, because Mike is part of he hosts on the Blueberry network. And so what's your excuse? Max has a show called What's Your Excuse. He has a website. His podcast is What's Your Excuse, and that's a really good show, and I've heard it. It's pretty cool stuff. I'm going to share this across all the platforms here. Let me do that for just a minute, because definitely want to check out Max's stuff. Mike, thanks a lot. Appreciate it. And I'm sharing across the other platforms now. And Kane's in the chat on YouTube. Kane says keto. It's great to see you, Kane. And he's referring to keto diet. There is a little bit of keto involved in here, but it's more than that. It's more than just the keto aspect of it. And I have tried the keto diet, by the way. Unfortunately, for me, that's another thing that you really have to have some motivation to stick to strictly. To make it work. And unfortunately, motivation has been a big issue for me, because I love food and I love wine and I love pairing food and wine, as you've seen on the show. So it's been a challenge. For instance, today I had a couple of glasses of eggnog. You know how many calories are in eggnog? I don't, because I didn't look at them. Didn't look at the carton. I just started drinking it. I didn't want to look at the carton, because I knew if I had looked at the carton, I probably would have felt a lot more guilty about drinking it, but I would have had it anyway. Because I like eggnog. So, and this is how I've approached a lot of my foibles with food. So, as of tonight, I've read the book. It's a good book, and I highly recommend it. As of tonight, I am going, because I finished the book from beginning to end, I am going to start this diet tomorrow morning. And I will track my progress on it and report back to you as to how it works. If it works and how much it works for me. The man lost, he weighed over 500 pounds. He lost about half of it, or a little about half his weight. So if it worked for Maxwell Ivy Jr., it should work for me, right? We will find out. We'll find out. That's the challenge. So I'm committing myself as of tonight. You have it on record. As of tonight, I'm committing myself to giving this diet the old college try, even though I never finished college. Went to college to finish it. But I'm going to commit myself to finishing this diet. See it through. And we'll see how it goes. All right. Mike, you have a copy going to you. And let's see, anything else we got? And send me your stories. Send me your dieting stories. And if you really, really need to get on a diet like this, I will pull one of the requests from Drink With... Here you go. DrinkWithRick.com. Send them to me at Rick@SavoyaMedia.com, or comment in the comment box, DrinkWithRick.com, and I'll pull one of these and maybe give away another copy for next week. How about that? Also, has anyone figured out the overall meaning, the overarching theme of Jim and Eric? Has anybody figured that out? Anybody want to figure it out? Nobody cares. I'll give you the overall meaning next week. Nobody can figure it out. I think we're done for tonight, right? All right. I think there's nothing else on here, is there? Okay, I did tell you how you could get a couple of free coasters. Real quick, although, Mike, you've got a couple of free coasters coming along with the book. For everyone else, you can get some free coasters, and I'm going to tell you how you can get some free coasters. I'm going to do it right now as soon as I get my coasters out. Here they are. They're out. Let me put them on camera 3. And camera 3 is up. All right. See, you can win a pair of Drink With Rick coasters. That's what I use. That's what a lot of people use. These are popular, actually. And I've had to reorder these more than once, a few times. And I've got a few to carry me almost to the holidays, I think. But if you you want a pair of coasters for free, pretty much for free, I'm going to show you how you can do this. And I'm going to show you right now. Two free Drink With Rick coasters while supplies last. And the rules here, I don't have these right here. There we go. The rules here, limit 2 per person, not per household, per person, okay? Continental U.S. only. I can't ship outside the U.S. I wish I could, but I can't. I really would like to give these away. I've tried to do this sort of thing in the past, but it is very difficult to do and very costly. Continental U.S. only. So here's what you do. You send a self-addressed stamped envelope to me. And you will send it to Savoya Media Coaster Offer, 6420 Ray Road. That's REA Road, Suite A1, number 209, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28277. Once again, Savoya Media Coaster Offer, 6420 Ray Road, Suite A1, number 209, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28277. Send that self-addressed stamped envelope to me, and I will do this. I will take that self-addressed stamped envelope. You see, I've got a mock-up here, right here. And I pretend that there's a self-addressed stamped envelope here. I will put two of them here in the envelope, seal it up, and I'll send it right back at you, right back out to you. There you go. That's how that works, okay? And that's what we've got going on there. All right, everyone. I guess it's the time of the show to say sayonara. Good evening. And I appreciate you, and I want to thank you all for joining me here tonight. It's been a great time. Once again, this is what we've been drinking. This final review on the wine, the Montera Merlot, 2020 Merlot. I'm going to tell you that I like this Merlot. Some blackberry, a little bit of plum. I smelled some cherry on it, but I wasn't really getting any in the wine itself when I was tasting it. And it's kind of smoky wine, kind of medium light tannin, I would say. It's not heavy on the tannin at all. It's fairly dry, not too dry, and it's kind of smooth. It's kind of a smooth tasting wine. You know, as it's opened up some more, I'm getting a little bit more chocolate in here as well. It is kind of smoky. It went pretty well with let me turn all that stuff off because I was using the same camera for everything here. Where was I? There we go. Let me turn all that off. There you go. It went pretty well with everything. Went really well with the ribeye. It went well with the ribeye and made it a little smokier. And the chicken. The chicken, it added a little more smokiness to the grilled aspect of the chicken. It went okay with the unexpected cheddar with parm. The Merlot's supposed to go good with hard cheeses. This is a hard cheese. It was okay with that. But the cheddar made the wine a little bit creamier, vice versa. I liked it with the Cracker Barrel Sharp Cheddar. That was pretty good. I enjoyed that. So we'll give this a thumbs up on this. And let's see. Well, I'll give it a little clap here too. There we go. All right, that's good for the wine. And let's see, we're going to check the chats one more time. All right, Ed wants to know, does the Husky and Starch footage still exist? Husky and Starch doesn't exist, but Starchy and Crutch does. I think he had it backwards, but Ed has a pretty decent memory overall. Starchy and Crutch does still exist. It is in the process. I sent it out. It's one of the films that I sent out last week to Nicholas Coyle to have transferred. It does still exist. And hopefully in a few weeks, maybe by next month, I will have that to show you as well. Starchy and Crutch. It's a spoof on Starsky and Hutch. Yes. A short one. I don't want to oversell it. But yes, it does still exist, Ed. And it's in the process of being restored now. It is. And so in a few things. Mike says, good night. I'm out. Mike, thanks a lot. I really appreciate your time here with and your contributions to the show, because you do make the show. I do appreciate all your contributions. I appreciate each and every one of you, by the way. I want to thank my good friend Ed for being in the chat. My good friend Mike. Mike Dell for being here as well. Thank you for being in the chat. And everyone on Twitch who joined me on Twitch, and that includes Marcus and Tom Antio and Hannah, and did I miss anybody? What are you doing, Stepro? Everyone who joined me on Twitch, all those who were watching on Odyssey and YouTube, didn't step in, but on Odyssey and YouTube. Also, Kane, thanks for being here tonight and joining me on the show tonight, Kane. Appreciate it. Thank you. I do appreciate each and every one of you. Now, I have one more. Wherever he is. Oh, he's right here. Where am I? And you know who it is? It is none other than Roadkill Bill. Roadkill Bill. Bill is the official mascot of Drink with Rick on the Saturday Night Wine Stream, and Bill has a very special message for you because he is Roadkill Bill. His message is, do not drink and drive. Drink in the comfort of your home, your apartment, your hotel room, your dwelling, whatever, wherever you are. Drink there, and then call an Uber, call a Lyft, call a cab, call a bus, call a friend if you have to go somewhere. But if you don't have to go anywhere, just stay put. It's the best thing to do for you and everyone else out there. Trust me, do not drink and drive. Do not text and drive either, because it's also very, very dangerous. Because I want you to have a great week. But most of all, I want you to have a safe week. So you can join me here again next week on the Saturday Night Wine Stream, and we can all get together and drink with Rick. Good night.